For September the 13th, 2019, we talk about Remnant from the Ashes, Grease, and we ask you what games you love but will never play again. Welcome to Level 299. My name is Cole Ross.
My name's David Meismith.
I'm Jella Prendes.
I'm Ben Merkel.
And you're listening to The Level. It's a podcast for people who love video games. Thank you so much for coming back. Thank you for understanding our week off last week. But it was Labor Day, and I'm not going to force anybody to work on Labor Day. If I choose to, that's up to me.
And you traveled across the country, yeah.
Also true.
Yeah, I was going to say, also, you were partying hard, so, like, whatevs. I mean,
also,
you know.
Also true. I recorded with Gary that afternoon, but we had agreed to do it. So, yeah. Usually Monday is my travel day, but not so this time. Yeah, but we are back. Let me see. Who do I go to first? Let's see here. Jala, what's up?
Okay. Well, so when this episode comes out, okay, so this last weekend, I did a couple of things. I did the Travis Mannion 9/11 Heroes run. Well, it wasn't a run. It was actually a ruck. I was in the rucking division with my rucking club. And so it was just like a quick little 5K, just, you know, honoring those who sacrifice themselves trying to, you know, get everybody out, you know, first responders during 9/11. Then right after that, one of my buddies and I did a scavenger ruck hunt, which was a rucking challenge that I was supposed to have finished last month, but I didn't because of, you know, all the debacles that went on that I talked about last episode. So I did those recently, and this next weekend, like when this episode comes out, I'm going to be over in Austin preparing to participate in a 12-hour Go Ruck Tough custom event for Get Headstrong, which is an organization that provides mental and emotional care for veterans on behalf of a friend of mine who served as a Marine and took his own life 12 years ago at the age of 23. So I will be honoring him in going there and doing that. Basically, all the people who are going have somebody that they're rucking in memoriam for. So, yeah. And yes, Ben, I will probably get a plow burger because last time you asked me about it, I said that, oh, I don't know, because I'm going to be on a cut. But with the endurance events that I have coming up, not just this one, but also I have another, like an 18-hour one at the beginning of October, my cut's going to be real slow, and I'm going to have to pause it around the times of the events because I can't be, like, properly fueled if I'm on a cut. So not for that kind of event, so... So, yes, I'm probably be going to Plowburger.
I'm jealous that you'll both be in Austin and that you'll get some Plowburger.
Mm. Right. So that's a thing. And then also, thanks to the anonymous listener who sent me the Picard facepalming statue. It is sitting out on my desk next to all of my other goodies. Let me see. I'm trying to type real quick so I can pull up a picture to drop into the Slack for you guys. But yeah, I opened that up this morning and it was quite entertaining. I do know who it's from. However, they wish to remain anonymous. So you know who you are. Thank you. Sitting right next to Superman sitting on top of a llama.
Of course.
Don't ask why. It's fine. Like the llama. Like I've had lots of questions about that. The llama is also super.
Yeah, okay.
Don't worry about it.
How else could it hold Superman? Don't worry.
So,
but is it a man? A man llama?
It can be whatever gender it wishes to be.
Yeah.
It is a little stuffed toy. So I'm not going to hold it down and, you know, be all normative about whatever gender it might be. But anyway, so Anyway, another listener also informed me today that he patterned a tabletop RPG character after my physical build and appearance. Hmm. And so whenever he sees my training photos, like the ones I posted today, he thinks of this character that, you know, is apparently is also one of his favorites. And he described her as a warrior hero who did not ascend in the way that was expected, but eventually attained some alternate form of ascension due to her devotion to her swordsmanship. So he said that she is kind but no nonsense, willing to shoulder a large burden for those who cannot, and principled. So the only thing that's more flattering, right, than that is like direct emulation, you know? Yeah. Like if you start trying to become like the Jala, then that's about the only thing. So like this is super, super sweet of both of these folks. The person who gave me the little statuette that is literally like my like my current status in the Slack is constantly facepalming Picard. So and that is probably the most common GIF reaction that I use to anything ever.
Of course.
So yeah. So you know, that is awesome. And so now I have it on my desk, which means that when I am streaming, not only can I facepalm, I can also hold a Picard and he can facepalm with me.
Facepalming so, in solidarity.
Yes, indeed.
That rules.
Yes, so that, and of course, tabletop character after Ajala, so that's pretty cool.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's going on with David?
Yeah, what's going on with David?
Not a whole lot. Let's see, we got kicked out of the park we've been doing martial arts in, so that was... That was unfortunate.
I mean, this is yeah. I was gonna say, did you put up a fight?
Well, I mean, we figured probably causing a scene might not be in our best interest, but it's kind of frustrating though because like we've never had any problems, and like usually you know random passerbys like enjoy you know seeing people do stuff. And apparently this was before my time, but apparently, like, our presence there has been, like, a dissuasion to the gathering of, like, drug dealers in the park.
Oh, that's amazing.
Right, so...
It's like the plot of an 80s movie.
Yeah, you know, as you do. It's always the 80s in New York. But we, on the plus side, we found a new spot in Central Park, which is much more scenic, and actually was the first time I've made it out to Central Park because things have been crazy.
Yeah.
But so that was cool. I'm working on some techniques that basically derived from the art that became like Muay Thai.
Okay.
And so its kind of thing is it focuses on... Instead of, you know, normally you're generating most of your power by, like, swinging at the waist like a baseball bat. Mm-hmm. Whereas this, you're kind of doing these succession of sort of hopping lunges with each strike. Which on paper probably sounds weird enough, but it's even stranger when you realize that, like, alternating hopping lunges equates to it's basically weaponized skipping.
Okay.
Okay. it's interesting. It's something I'm experimenting with. It's you know, actually kind of a neat technique, but it looks a little silly.
Nice.
So that's my life.
Yeah. Well, it's cool that you found a new park that would be hospitable to you. And if things go bad, you can just run into that cool little forest maze that they have in the middle of it, and they'll never find you.
I was going to say, if they kick you out of one part, you can just go like a block over and be in the other part of Central Park, and you'll be fine.
They don't have jurisdiction.
That's kind of our plan. I'm personally advocating for, they have a lot of like badass bridges, which I think clearly... you know, you have to have like a crouching tiger, hidden dragon, you know, bridge duel.
Of course.
So, yeah, it's weird seeing green things again.
Yeah, you're kind of down on one of the grayer parts, of the city down there. Yep. Generally. Yeah. Well, cool. How about you, Ben?
Speaking of grayer parts, it's been cloudy and rainy the last like 3 or 4 days in Seattle, so it's been sad.
This is your first.
So basically, it's been Seattle the last 3 or 4.
Yeah,
right.
This summer may be ending.
It's your first. It's your first fall, winter. Right?
Fall. Yeah, I think I had 1 month of actual Seattle weather, and then I was tricked by Seattle summer for the rest of the time. So
yeah.
Some harsh realizations going on in my end of the world. Yeah. But
but hey, always summer here. Can I send some of my summer to you, please?
She has a surplus. She has a summer
surplus.
It's
still like 100 plus heat index over here.
Yeah, we just need to make like a wormhole between Austin and Seattle and then average out the temperatures. It would be perfect.
Right.
Average out the clouds maybe too. Yeah.
That sounds what you're describing is the heat death of the universe, Ben.
Yeah, also, isn't that literally the definition of, like, what you can't do with a portal?
I don't know. I have not studied this in a while. Yeah. Or ever.
I thought it was something like the reason we can't have, like, portals is because you could screw with, like, temperature in order to... you know, make hot things get hotter and cold things get colder or something.
That's why they discontinued the McDLT.
That seems plausible.
Yeah.
What's it stand for?
I have no idea what it stood for. It was people know it from the very bad commercial where it's Jason Alexander from Seinfeld, like singing and dancing. It was just a burger that they sold in two separate containers where all the cold ingredients were in one and the hot ingredients were in another.
Weird. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
This sounds very 90s.
Late 80s.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a profligate waste of styrofoam. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't mean for my joke to turn into an explanation. I'm very sorry about that.
That's okay. Dennis's joke turned into me really technically explaining how to fart more. That was fine. I mean.
It's kind of our one trick that we have, isn't it? Oh. But yeah, you're dealing with that. I got to see you a little bit, not enough this past weekend. Yeah.
Yeah. At the Portland Duck Fest.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, that thing that happened.
Yeah. The first of many. If their reception is enough, is any indication. What kind of trouble did you get to in Portland?
I hung out with so I have an old college roommate who lives there, Brian Perk, and so we hung out, we played Scythe, played some board games, biked around a little bit, ate at some places, just mostly lazy stuff, but we both got to go to the show, and so I think I saw maybe 5 or 6 of the podcasts throughout the day.
Cool.
And so I think we started out with the Bonfireside Chat.
the one with the least broad appeal. Yeah.
neither of us had played Dark Souls but it was still interesting. It made me want to look up the bosses that you guys were talking about because some of them sounded really cool. Mm-hmm. I did look up the ape one that you guys talked about from Sekiro, and that was pretty cool.
It's a good fight.
And then we stayed up until Watch Out for Fireballs, which was really good.
Yeah.
Talking about pinball machines, and someone name checked the Pinball Hall of Fame in Vegas, and I did everything I could from not like shouting out. So
you should have. Yeah, I can't remember. Did you go there?
I did. Yeah, cool. That was a go-to for where to take people when they came visit.
Gotcha. Come visit as well. Yeah. No, I would very much like to go there. I I really unlocked an abiding affection for pinball. Doing the research for that, I'm way into it.
Fun backstory, brief aside, the guy who runs that place is just like, it's like one dude and he's from Michigan and like he just like owns all the tables and so like, and he restores them himself. So he'll just like buy new tables and like fix them and then put them on display and stuff. And the place is a nonprofit too. I think like he donates the profits to like Salvation Army. Hmm. So it's just an awesome place.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've mostly just been recovering from that show. My big thing was I stopped and got Greta some new toys at a pet store out there. They're realistically toys that I could get anywhere, but I don't know. It felt good to get them and bring them home. and showed them to her, and she had no idea, really.
Oh,
yeah.
I saw the picture you posted like the day after you had left, and your family member was feeding her, and her pupils were completely dilated. She looked so like scared, and yeah, I don't know.
She looked feral, is what she did. Yeah, she very rarely has her needles out. You know, she very rarely shows her teeth. But she, like Rick, my stepdad, took a picture of her when she looked like a vampire who was like somebody cracked open a window and like let a single sun ray in. Yeah.
To be fair, that sounds like a cat.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll put this into the Twitter here, not into the Twitter, into the Slack. So people can see and be reminded of this very, very good picture, but.
I imagine she was very happy to see you when you got home.
Yeah. She was, it was quite heartwarming. I was very happy to see her as well. Mm-hmm. So, thank you. I don't know why I'm saying thank you. We've got the usual kind of show for you. We've got the brief, not the brief. I'm all over the place, guys. I'm sorry.
We threw you off thinking about Greta. Yeah.
She's a good cat. I think we've got the usual kind of show for you. We've got, the grind, the multiplayer, and then we're going to round out with the end boss talking about new stories that excite us. So why don't we get started with
the grind.
The grind, where we talk about the games we have been playing over the past period of time or so. Jala, you've been away the longest, okay. So I will start with you.
Oh, have I been away the longest?
I believe so.
Oh, that's okay. I don't know that I was, but that's fine. I will accept this placement. All right.
No, it was. I was looking at the wrong episode. I'm going to let you go.
You can go ahead and let the person who actually was here. Wasn't it David?
Yes, it was. It was David. It was David. Okay. So David. Yeah. David, what you been playing?
Sure. So let's see. It has been a bit. Not surprisingly, I've been continuing on with Warframe. They just released. In addition to, as Dennis noted on the Slack, the fact that they released the ability to play sweet future space guitar, they also released some new story content, basically dealing with fighting the Warframe equivalent of the... I'm completely forgetting. What are the fungi bug people from Halo? Flood.
The Flood.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Sorry. The Warframe equivalent of the Flood.
Okay.
So that's been kind of interesting, but a lot of it's just kind of continuing on. More interesting is I actually picked up Remnant from the Ashes.
Oh, yeah. I want to hear about this.
Yeah, so it's really interesting. It's basically Dark Souls, but with Lovecraft and guns.
Okay.
Which it really bothers me when I keep seeing like all these reviews about how, you know, original that is, and how there's never been a Soulsborne genre game to try this. It's like, yeah, except for Immortal.
Yeah, no, Immortal it deserves its due.
Yeah, and they even both have a completely gratuitous and horrible like colon subtitle going on. So, so this kind of the plot this time around is it's set in sort of a Cold War kind of sci-fi type of setting where interdimensional root monsters have basically wiped out most of humanity, and so you start out holed up in a government lab, and you have to kind of adventure into the wastelands and eventually apparently to other dimensions in order to, you know, right what once went wrong.
Okay.
So
Let's see here. Kind of the big thing with it, I think, is it's I'd say compared to like Immortal Unchained, where a lot of the shooting was, you know, had a very distinctly, I guess, like action RPG feel.
Okay.
To the point where, you know, you could just straight up lock on if you wanted to.
Yeah.
This has much more feel of a true third person shooter, like a, you know, Division or, you know, something like that. And so it does a lot more emphasizing like the need to, you know, manage, say lots of, you know, fast moving enemies and, you know, manage their distance with you, you know, really big focus on using the dodge mechanics, that sort of thing. So overall, I'd say probably the game it feels most like is actually maybe Bloodborne.
Okay.
So actually the only criticism I'd say with the gameplay so far is there's just a little bit of clunkiness that I think they could work out from it. Most notably, it seems to you've got a long rifle, a handgun, and your melee attack. And it seems to kind of emphasize, you know, wanting you to have to manage which of those you're using at a given time and having some weapon switch time.
Okay.
But the problem is sometimes that translates to just you pressing like the aim button to bring up your gun and it just taking a long time for your character to actually do that, which is a little janky, but, you know, that's kind of just a small flaw on it.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, other than that, it's, I don't know, it's been a lot of fun so far. It's kind of hard to say a lot about it because it's very story-driven, but at the same time, then that means, you know, I don't want to spoiler anything.
Yeah.
So, one thing that I do think is kind of interesting is it apparently takes place long enough after the apocalypse for people who were infants when the world ended to now be adults.
Okay.
And so it kind of has some fun instances of like, you know, oh, here's what you know, how people have, you know, kind of misremembered or romanticized the past.
Yeah.
So, for example, I think my favorite is the fact that basically there's apparently this whole mythology that's risen up around, you know, these, you know, masters of the outdoors and, you know, stalking their prey and stuff like that, that, you know, people in the before time called hunters.
What?
Yeah, it's just the fact that, like, apparently, you know, just straight up sports hunters are like now, like, folklorically remembered basically as rangers.
I feel like in a post-apocalypse, hunting would be more common, not mythical.
I think it's more just like it's implied that the human population is very, very low.
Okay.
So, you know, it's implied that there's maybe like a couple thousand people left alive.
Hmm. The direction I thought you were going is they were these masters of outdoorsmanship. They just were unparalleled. They were called the Boy Scouts.
Yeah, that would be
bridges.
You know, that I mean, to be fair, what's it? Fallout just kind of did that. So I, you know, that's not without precedent.
True.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out the one thing that is a little weird is it's apparently the world ended in like the 1960s, which is just a little odd. It's also interesting because the game's at least implying that like some of the alternate dimensions you'll be experiencing might be somewhat less Lovecraft and more like straight up traditional fantasy, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a lot of fun so far. Very, very difficult. It's got the Dark Souls style, you know, every time you go to a checkpoint to, you know, re-get your healing and stuff like that, all the enemies reset.
Okay.
But kind of one of the changes is, although the overall setting of, you know, where enemies will spawn is the same, the exact, you know, what enemies will spawn is different.
Oh.
Most notably, pretty much each group of enemies at some point during the fight will spawn kind of a, almost like the game's equivalent of like a special infected from Left 4 Dead. So that'll be, you know, for example, you know, most of the enemies might be like melee focused, but then there'll be, you know, an enemy with a chain gun or, you know, an enemy that can like block your attacks until it gets into close range, things like that.
Yeah.
And the specifics of which one spars or shows up varies.
Okay.
So that kind of gives a little bit of a more organic feel. The other thing that's real interesting, although I haven't personally experienced this yet, is apparently the actual stages you see are procedurally generated. So in a given playthrough, you'll only see about like half of the bosses and whatnot.
Oh, this would make it a nightmare to cover on Bonfireside Chat.
So part of the reason for that, I think, is it's unlike most Soulsborne games, it's very much co-op friendly. So you can have, I think, up to like 4 players in co-op. And so then, yeah, kind of the idea with that is you'll then, you'll then see more of the content. They've suggested that they're going to be adding fairly soon a sort of new game plus mode that is built around showing you the content you haven't seen yet. And it sounds like it's going to be some combination of like, you know, a straight, like, being able to a la carte see this content combined with kind of an inspiration from, like, the Chalice Dungeons. So, yeah. So, I don't know. I'm really enjoying it. It's really, really pretty neat so far.
Yeah. Those reviewers best learn about Immortal Unchained, though.
Yeah, it really does bother me. I don't know. I feel like that actually says something good about Immortal Unchained, that like I didn't realize how like defensive about the quality of that game I felt. So
it's a good game.
Yeah, very much so. I'm kind of torn. I really like the all your characters in this have a very strong like the kind of the trench coats and you know, wrapped up gauzed hands and hoodies type of, you know, post-apocalyptic look.
Yeah, Darkman. Darkman.
Yeah, exactly. Which looks really, really badass, but I kind of miss my like blatantly ugly you know, caveman dude.
the Cretan that you play as an immortal. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Very cool. Yeah, I'm curious about this. That that came out, people brought it to my attention, and then I heard nothing more. So
yeah, it's real interesting. I realize I keep going on with this. One thing I'm kind of interested to see is they've completely eliminated the mechanic of like when you die, you know, you go back to the checkpoint, but there's no other negative side effects. You don't drop your equivalent of like souls or anything like that. Which it's interesting to me because this might be just, you know, it's a game I really like, so you know, I'm, you know, have more positive, you know, kind of the Halo effect on it. But it a little bit feels to me like the first Soulsborne game I played that was like, you know, what if we took like the core of Souls stuff, but then didn't necessarily feel obligated to follow like every single mechanic?
Yeah, yeah.
Things kind of interesting.
Cool. Well, that is Remnant from the Ashes. Anything else about that?
No, I think that's it.
Cool. I don't have any other questions about it. Like all of my questions are about aesthetics and story. And if you do not feel like spoiling that, I will not press you.
No problem.
Is that all for you, David?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Jolly, you're not getting away. Now it is your turn.
Okay. So, first things first, I have continued to play more of Final Fantasy XII Remastered. I'm about 26 hours in. We got the Dawn Shard, but Ash doesn't know how to use it. That was a hilarious scene, by the way, where, like, she's all, like, super serious face, like, you know, super protagonist, talking about, I need to use this for the fate of my people to be a sword and a shield and whatever the fuck she was saying. And then out of nowhere, like, it's quiet for a second, and then Vaughn's like, do you know how to use it? She's just like, had no idea how to reply to it. She's like,
I'm working on that part.
Yeah. That was pretty great. Mm-hmm. So, after that, we went to see the amazing unibrow of the Dream Seer guy, which, like, if you have not seen the prodigious unibrow of this particular guy, I'm going to pull up my Twitter and pull up a reference photo of the Dream Seer's eyebrows, because, boy, that is something. But anyway, after we went to see his eyebrow, then we moved on and, like, we were told about how there is a convenient sword that can counteract the shard and whatever. And so, okay, sure, why not?
Yeah.
That's super, super convenient that even exists. And now we have to go and look for that. And so...
That is an awesome unibrow.
Yeah.
Isn't it like that is the unibrow that just don't quit?
It seriously doesn't. It merges with his widow's peak.
His facial hair is upside down. Like mustache and beard going upwards.
Right? It does, now that you mention it. So, but I now have access to two license boards for all of the characters, although I'm still messing with the first one. I'm not really... you know, futzing around too much with the second one. Mm-hmm. The game continues to be fun, but I'm slowing down on playing it because I'm kind of ready for a break from that style, and I'm ready for, like, a new narrative for a little bit.
Gotcha.
So I also played some other stuff. So, any questions about that at this point?
Is 12 not the one where you play as, like, a monkey boy?
That is 9. I'm sorry I answered that when that was directed at you, Jella.
No, that's fine. I was waiting for you to answer it, so it's all good.
Yeah.
So then the next thing that I did was I streamed when you were away, Cole.
Thank you for doing that.
You were off doing the whole Duck Fest thing, and I was not. And so, you know, there were some people in the Hex Crank channel who were like, well, who's going to stream for us since Cole's not here? And I was
who's
going to
crank that hex?
I was like, well, I can, but it's not going to be, it's going to be like whatever I pull up at that time. Like, yeah. You know, and I was told that I was the anti-Cole because I operate in such a very different way from you. I am controlled chaos. So I was told I was the anti-Cole and I rather like this. So, you know, I don't plan things. I just kind of like show up and then, you know, we go from there. But anyway, I did stream on Saturday Fallout New Vegas, my first time playing any of it. And I played it for, I want to say like 2.5 or 3 hours, something like that. That stream featured the anime boob cantaloupe, which if you have no idea what I'm talking about, go look at the video archive, which is on YouTube, also on Twitch for now under, you know, Jalachan, my usual. It's also on my Instagram, I think, maybe. So anyway, you can find it in places. It's definitely on my Twitter and on YouTube and so on. Yeah. So the anime boob cantaloupe was a thing. That was like basically there's a giant cantaloupe at the store and it was 67 cents and I bought it. But it's like the size of an anime boob, which is to say freaking huge, and like I cut it in half and it's still freaking huge. So anyway, it had that and also unfortunately some super severe mansplanations.
We're gonna put them on blast.
I'm just gonna say a couple of things. It got to the point where it was literally the text that's grayed out is something that you've already read. I've played a video game before. You know, yeah. I've played a game maybe once or twice. I think I got that part. Good. You know, I think I'm good. Also don't be that person. Yeah. You know, the person who did this, we talked about it afterwards in direct messages and they did not know that they were doing it.
Yeah.
And they are going to be making efforts to not do it in the future. So there is that. So that resolved itself. I did speak to the person.
Cool.
Don't be that person. Yeah. Like, if I'm playing a game and it's my first time playing the game, if I have a question that I direct at you, you can answer it. Yeah. Otherwise, let me experience the game like the first time. This is my first time to play it. Like, you know, you don't want me over your shoulder telling you every last thing about the game. I mean, the game's got a tutorial if I really don't know, you know. You know, and like there's menus for that. But anyway, like, yeah, let me experience the game. That's all.
That's crazy. I've never had that happen. The worst I get is somebody saying, is this a blind playthrough? Because I'm fumbling around.
But
yeah.
But that's because you're a man.
I know.
And I pointed that out in the DM to the person. Mm-hmm. I said, if it was Cole streaming, you would not have done this at all. Yeah. So don't do it to me. You know, and as a result, I didn't want to stream any more of it because I just kind of like left a bad taste in my mouth. I got as far as Prim and that's about as far as I got. Like I wandered around, I shot a dude, I killed him. And,
just like, one?
Just only one guy, like the one guy that like pops in that he's from whatever the gang of prisoner people were, and he was being an asshat. So right as he walked out of the saloon or whatever, and he's like, "Yeah, you can come join us," and I was like,
"I do not remember that part."
The powder gangers.
Well, yeah. So I took that guy out, and then everybody got mad at me, and I don't know why, but that's okay. And then
because you shot a dude.
Oh, no, that's
the correct way to play Fallout.
Yes.
So anyway, it was kind of weird because I was like, when was this game made? Because it had some kind of feels that felt, you know, it was pretty archaic feeling, I guess, because I've played Skyrim and things since. Because I was like, wow, this is really slow movement. This is supposed to be a run? This is a run? Man, is this Morrowind? Like, what is this? You know? So so that was a thing. But I don't actually have any opinions. Huh?
I was going to say, is that game 8 or 9 years old now?
I don't know.
I believe it came out
2010, 2011, I think, is maybe when it came out. But yeah. Anyway, So yeah, I don't actually have very many opinions at all about the game because I only played like 2.5 hours of an open world game, mm-hmm. and I didn't get anywhere, but like I just got to the next town. So that's not a lot to go on. The most entertaining thing that happened in the game itself was when I was just walking towards Prim, and then all of a sudden I hear this like loud bang and a scream, and I turn, and a rad roach was just attacked by one of those like lizard things that was running around on its back legs, and then the thing, like the lizard, killed the roach and then ran off promptly in the other direction. And I don't know why, but it was really funny. I guess because those lizards looked so urgent. It was just extremely entertaining to me.
Emerging gameplay.
The lizard had places to be.
Apparently, I mean, iguanas run like that, but it was just really funny, like, because it was just a random occurrence in the world, and you know, like nothing else had happened like that before that point or after that point either. So anyway, that was all I have to say about streaming on Saturday. And then on Sunday, I decided to stream something a little different. I began a new quest of Lone Wolf Remastered. Now, I talked about this game a long, long time ago. I want to say it's like 3 years ago now, when I played it the first time. And this is a narrative game that is similar to Sorcery and other games of that genre. And it's based on the Lone Wolf series of Choose Your Own Adventure type books. I never played the original books because they really required you to have a piece of paper and do some math and keep a character sheet. So I kind of felt like I would rather either play an easier Choose Your Own Adventure book or actually play D&D. You know, it was like a little half step in between. So it was kind of weird. Mm-hmm. But I played chapter one last week and chapter two this week, and I intend to keep on playing, you know, like once a week, sometime on Sunday until I finish the game. So I believe my last playthrough was about 16 hours. I'm averaging about an hour and a half for each one of these streams. So, you know, you can do the math on how long I'm going to be doing this. But both of those archives are up on my YouTube as well as on my Twitch. And that was fun because it's been a while since I played it, but you as Lone Wolf, like somebody did a double take because they're like, he introduces himself and he's like, my name is Lone Wolf. And they're like, wait, his name is actually Lone Wolf. Yeah. What? And I'm like, yeah, that's his name, you know. But there were some parts where the writing just made me laugh because, you know, like by this point, the guy who writes this stuff is like an older person, right? Mm-hmm. So at one point, there's a point where he's talking about, you know, like, oh, you know, you hear the sound of female footsteps. And I'm like, how do you know they're female? How do you know they're female? How do you know the gender of their feet? This is awesome.
Got petite like, feet, a feminine step.
Yeah. So it was really, it entertained the hell out of me. And like, there's just a few times where there's just something really like off like that, that just the phrasing is just weird. And I'm just, it just makes me laugh. And so also, he also runs around all the time, you know, exhaustively telling everybody he comes across that he is their liege lord. So cool. It's really funny. He's like, well, I am your liege lord. And he's just kind of like, he's kind of arrogant. Like every time it talks about it, it's like, well, I could requisition these goods, but you know, I think I'll go ahead and pay for them. The town is ruined. They have nothing. And they are like, you just let them out from like of you know, being bolted in a cellar. Of course you're gonna fucking give them money if you have money. What the hell? You're their liege lord. So anyway, so I've been having some fun with that. And the fights are actually kind of challenging, actually. This game was made originally. It looks like it was made for mobile originally, and that the remastered version is just like all, you know, stuck together and put on Steam. Mm-hmm. But it is also still available on mobile devices. It probably would play better insofar as the fighting portions are concerned on a mobile device because there are like, you know, equivalent of swipes and taps that you need to do at certain times to trigger your attacks or to get criticals or things like that or to dodge and things like that. But either way, like, I, for the most part, am doing okay. This last session, I had a couple of times where I was just, like, not getting the timing just right. And I know that if it was on a touchscreen, I wouldn't have a problem with it, you know. But anyway, like, I've been having fun with it, and if you just want to hear me read a lot of text, you can have it on in the background and then maybe look at the screen when I'm going into a fight scene, because the rest of it is pretty much just like, here's a map, and, you know, here's my face down in the corner, and then, you know, here's the text. Although anytime I say Liege Lord, you can probably imagine that my face is going to be like, you know, very expressive, and I'm going to be wigging out in my little corner. So you might want to like go and look at the video for that anyway.
Take a shot at Liege Lord.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah, so I've been playing that. I've been enjoying that. I haven't had very many people pop up for that. Not like for Fallout, of course, but it is a fun game. I highly recommend that you check it out. You can definitely just have the YouTube on in the background and just listen to it and see if it sounds like something you want to, you know, catch more of. I'm trying to do the streams on Sunday in like probably mid-afternoon or early evening about. So yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing with that.
Awesome.
So do I have time to talk about one more or no?
I think so. I don't have very much. Okay. So you can take one. Okay.
Cool. So the last thing I've been playing, I picked up another random game called Shadow of Loot Box.
Oh.
This game was on sale and it looked mildly amusing, so I picked it up. It's a first-person shooter with a kind of Minecraft looking aesthetic to it.
Okay.
It has 16 levels, apparently. I am at the end of level 5, and every one of the levels focuses on particular things that we all love about modern games, such as microtransactions, loot boxes, cut content, and like the level I'm on is early access, where everything is just like white blobs, and then like all of the people are just like, you know, little blue rectangles, and like you have to fight a dragon, and it's like, you know, everything is super, super simplified. I put a video on Twitter that was really funny of just what I'm dealing with right now in the game, and it's really entertaining to me. I will share it with you guys so you can take a look at what the current level looks like. This is just like part of a fetch quest where I'm walking around talking to quote-unquote villagers, which are just blue boxes. But loot boxes are literal monsters in the world with spider legs that come and they bite you.
Okay, this all lines up with the real world right now.
And the last level that I did was focused on achievements, and in order to unlock the key, you had to get certain achievements, which are stupid, like jump 25 times, shoot 25 times, step on 4 bugs or something, you know, like throw a box this far or whatever. And then like, you have to do all of these things and get all of these achievements in order to unlock the key to get to the next level and things like that. So it's just like, a really quick, fun little, you know, thought experiment, I guess, about like, what if we made a game that's about these aspects of games that irritate everybody?
Yeah,
you know, but it's actually kind of entertaining because it's so short, like the levels are so short and, you know, bite sized that it's not too much, and it's not so like smack you in the face with this haha isn't it funny, you know. Like it's like you're just presented with this stuff and you're like, oh, this is the early access level because everything is white and there's nothing to finish except this one character, you know. So it apparently takes about 2 hours to get through all the way, but I am stuck currently on the dragon boss because you have to shoot some little triggers on the walls to open up a little gate so you can get to his weak point. And so I'm like, okay, like, 'cause there's actually shooting and stuff you have to do as well.
But yeah. Yeah.
Anyway. So yeah, it's a mildly entertaining little game. Since it's on sale, I would recommend it on sale. I didn't pay very much for it. I don't know how many dollars, but under 5.
Yeah. So it's only 5 regularly. Okay. So,
okay, well, yeah, I definitely only paid a couple of bucks for this game then, so yeah. it's worth my $2, so I will report it when I finish it, but
this seems like something that would have been put out on itch.io first. Usually that's where the joke-based non-games are.
Yeah.
Anti-games,
well, this
rather.
Actually, Well, the thing is that it actually plays through. It has a level structure. It has like objectives and it has goals and everything. And like, you know, like it's, there's not an overarching, well, I guess there is kind of a narrative because every time you go, there's a wanderer that tells you that this settlement needs some help. And then they, you know, have procedurally generated quests that you have to do until you get a certain number of them done and things like that.
But, I love that they list towers and outposts as features.
yeah so but it's actually kind of fun. Like the controls and everything feel good. Like it's interestingly, you know, designed well. The translation is obviously, like, this was obviously made in some other country. I do not know what country. And English was translated over. So but anyway, I'm entertained with it.
Cool.
Yep.
Shadow of Loot Box. Neat. Let's see, Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I got two things. I got one small thing, one big thing. Small thing is I played Anti-Chess for the first time this week. It's not a new game, but it's a pretty fun game that I learned from a coworker. So the premise is you play chess, but the goal is to lose all of your pieces before the other person. And the condition is if you can possibly take one of your opponent's pieces, you have to do it. If there's more than one, you can choose which one to do. And that's the game. So, so it's a lot of fun to play. Huh. So I tried that. I did that at a bar with a friend over the weekend. And, I don't know.
I like the idea of being in check, like having any piece in check being a bad thing.
And you can lose your king, and that's fine. And then, so what's interesting is when you move, if your pawns move to the end, that you still have to promote them to something. So you typically promote them to a king because that's one of the least valuable pieces.
Yeah.
And there's like some interesting strategy where it's like you want to get rid of your pawns. You don't want to get rid of all of your like back pieces too early because then your pawns are kind of too weak to force somebody to take them. And so then like they can kind of take control of sacrificing their pieces, if that makes sense. I don't know. It's a lot of fun. There's a few other chess variants I've played before, but chess is a really fun bar game, in case it did not seem apparent. So I don't know. That's my two cents. But anyway, Anti-Chess. Any questions about that?
No, it sounds fun. There are a couple of, I did a Google. There are a couple of like electronic versions of it, either web browser based. The other idea is the other name for this is Losing Chess.
Okay. All right. The big one that I got, I think I mentioned this on the last podcast. I got Detroit Becomes Human on sale. And then I've also donated money to a charity to offset the cost of me buying Detroit Becomes Human on sale.
Okay.
I donated to Racy's, the charity that you guys linked for Duck Fest.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not exactly directly helping the problem that whatever, but whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Detroit Becomes Human was something that I was curious to play. I had watched a few people play it on Twitch, and it looked good, so I thought I would try it out. It's a pretty good game, so it's definitely mixed feelings. I don't really support the company that made it, but I do. If you have like an itch to play like a Heavy Rain type game, it is a pretty good game. They have like improved upon how they make games. It's like very polished from Heavy Rain. The stories and situations you get in are slightly more plausible. Still some conventions. There's still some like two dimensional characters for sure. But it was a really enjoyable playthrough. The thing I really liked too, a mechanic that they added in this game versus their other ones, is they, at the end of a level, they will show you all the paths that you can go on in the level. Yeah. So they make it very clear what all the branches are. And so it kind of encourages you to go back and find like the different pathways. And so after you beat the game, you can go back to individual levels and you can either start from where you were and then pick a new branch to go forward on. Well, so there's like a lot of flexibility with where you can start with the game.
That's kind of cool. Did they do that in any of the previous ones?
I don't believe they did that in Beyond Two Souls, but I'm not 100%
sure. They did the opposite of that. Like they gave you a timeline, but you had to go through in the like scrambled up order that they prescribed to you.
Yeah. That's
weird.
I think in Heavy Rain, you could go back and play scenes maybe. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't at the point where, like, yeah, you could start like on a different branch from a different run through that you've had that like hit that one. Mm-hmm. It wasn't anything like sophisticated like that.
It sounds, it sounds like what happens in like Virtue's Last Reward when they give you the flowchart kind of stuff. Yeah.
It's probably very similar to that. But yeah, the writing is, it's kind of the writing in the game in general. It's like a beautiful mess type thing. Some of the like futurism stuff that they have in it is interesting. The premise is it's like the 2030s, like the late 2030s in Detroit. Everybody owns an Android. Humans like have a very low employment rate because Androids do like the bulk of the work in society. And then the crux of the game is like some of the Androids start becoming deviant, which and just like killing their owners and just running off or like having consciousness of their own. And so that's kind of like the main arc of the game is like, what are the robots going to do if they have consciousness? Like, should the humans just kill them all and fix that problem that way? Or should they give them rights as humans, you know? So that sounds like a very interesting plot. The game delivers on it in places and then is kind of corny and hokey in other places. No. Let me look up the actor's name who's in it. For the most part, it's mostly unknowns, but there is one character actor in it. I'll look it up and mention it later. But you play as three different androids in the game. And so there's like three different arcs. Sometimes they can interact with one another, but not necessarily. Mm-hmm. The thing that I super appreciated about the game is one of the characters very early on, you can just make a choice, like a choice that is not many people would make. Like you could be like purposely very neglectful if you want to, and that person's story just ends. And like you don't see that for the rest of the game. It's like 2/3 of the game for the rest of the game. It's still like a pretty decent sized game even without that. But I was definitely much more appreciative of the game giving you more choices of what to do. So I basically did two playthroughs of the game. One, which was kind of like a neutral, like nice playthrough, robots being peaceful, trying to earn their independence, that type of thing. And then the second playthrough, I was like, everyone was incompetent and neglectful, and robots were killing humans as much as they could. So just to kind of see like how far off the rails you could go. And I was pretty satisfied with it. You didn't have like complete freedom. You weren't playing an entirely new game. There's certain storylines where it forces you down the same path, especially for like one character in particular. But outside of that, I was pretty happy with the variability that it gave you.
See, I feel like on the plus side, you know, knowing how like Heavy Rain and whatever the other one was called, Indigo Kid or something.
Indigo Prophecy.
Indigo and Beyond Two Souls.
Yes. You know, if you only play 2/3 of the game, it might end up with like a coherent plot.
It might be the good 2/3.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
I love the fact that apparently all this is happening in what, like, roughly 10 years from now?
Yep. Yeah, it's the late 2030s, so it's about 20, but yeah, it is pretty optimistic with the progress that we'll make in 20 years. Mm-hmm. Clancy Brown is one of the character actors who's in the movie. He plays the prison, like not the warden, but the main prison guard in Shawshank Redemption. Mm-hmm. The guy who's like the mean guy or whatever who shoots people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's one of the character actors in the game. He is great, like end to end the entire game. He is a joy to watch the entire game. That said, like there's definitely some pitfalls with the game. There's one of the characters you play as, I don't think it's a great character. It feels like a very like helpless female type character the entire time. So that was like very aggravating. Cause it's like, you're an android. You could like kill these people in this situation. You could do this. Like, so that was like a little bit frustrating. Then some other things is like, some of the choices that you make, they aren't really coherent with one another. So like one example is you play as three different androids, right? So there's one android who can die and still come back. Like he's a mass marketed one. You can just transfer the memory type thing. So there's one storyline where he can die, and like a person shoots him that he talks to regularly. And then in the next scene, you can shoot another android, and that same person who shot you will like chide you for doing that and be like, I can't believe you did that. And it's like, well, bro, like 24 hours ago, you shot me in the head. So,
You deserved it.
Yeah, yeah. So there's definitely some things like that that don't really check out. And so some of the times when you make choices, you can kind of tell that it's like, okay, I'm kind of being funneled into, like, we were going to get to the scene no matter what, whatever choice I picked. Mm-hmm. So there's a few places where it doesn't have, like, the most fidelity with what you're picking. But that's, I would say that's more like the exception to the rule than otherwise. Like, it's, I definitely think this was an improvement. If they made this directly after Heavy Rain, I would be like, man, this company's doing really great things. But now, you know, since they did Beyond Two Souls, it's like, oh, okay, they went back to doing decent things. So maybe it gets even better from here. Mm-hmm. So overall, I thought it was a good playthrough. I think it's definitely a game that's worth 20 or 30 bucks to play through. That's where I'd price it. But
if offset with charity.
Yeah, yeah. That's
see, something. I feel like we need to call it what it is. It's absolution.
Yeah, no, by buying your indulgences. Yeah, no. Yeah. It's so here's my question, just real brief, because I think that I heard something. I think I heard this about the game. So it's, you know, it's a very inelegant kind of allegory for the civil rights struggle. And do they actually like use footage of Martin Luther King Jr. when they're talking about the struggle for android rights?
No, I think the most that they directly talk about it is there's like a analogous like underground railroad for robots in the game, but they're going to Canada. So like, so there's one point where one of the androids is trying to go to Canada and they're helped by somebody who's a person of color. And then she was saying like, well, we need to do this because like, it wasn't so long ago that like we had to go through this ourselves. Hmm. And like, that's the most that they make a connection for it.
Okay. So that I must have just heard bad information, because I thought that they just straight up used footage of MLK Jr. to like underline and say, yeah,
maybe there's a branch where that happens.
Yeah,
but I just didn't hit it. Mm-hmm. They definitely don't wedge it into the main game, I would say.
Gotcha. So let's go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not that bad.
It's not that bad.
There's definitely a whole bunch of like tone deaf and two dimensional characters in the game. Like there's the abusive father type character, you know, where it's like he's just yelling the entire time, and like this person's like angry. I get it, you know, like but all right, whatever.
Yeah. Doesn't your voice get tired?
So some of the writing is not great, but to its credit, like the scenes that they set up and like the tension they set up as far as like the situations that you have to be in, those are typically really good. Like example I think of in Heavy Rain, you know, the part where you're in the clock shop and you have to go around and like wipe down everything and remove all the evidence that you were there, like how that was like a really like engaging scene. They have like a lot of stuff like that in the game.
That's cool.
So I was definitely appreciative of that. So man, I hope that studio gets better, and I hope that their games keep getting better. But it does seem like their games are on the right trajectory right now. Hmm. So it's amazing too, like using Clancy Brown instead of like Willem Dafoe and Ellen Page. Mm-hmm. It's like a way better trade out in my opinion. I thought he did a great job. So
yeah, you get characters who can disappear into the role a little bit more. It also has Lance Henriksen in it. So it's got Bishop, which seems a little bit on the nose, but yeah.
I need to look up Lance Henriksen. That's the guy from Alien.
Yeah, yeah. He plays the android in Alien, which is which is pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. Was that all you had, Ben?
That's all I got.
Cool.
Whee.
I'm going to do mine here real quick. Over the weekend, I streamed The Last of Us Left Behind, which is the DLC.
You streamed The Last of The Last of Us.
Yes, for now. But I streamed The Rest of Us. No. So I never played the DLC before. It's really neat and interesting and heartwarming. I did not know that there was any portion of it that took place in the current day. as far as the story goes, that took place during mm-hmm. Ellie and Joel's kind of journey. I thought that most of it was going to be the flashback to the to Ellie with Riley in the mall. But they do a really cool like interleaving between the two stories, and all of the scenes where it is Ellie and Riley bonding are super heartwarming and very good and very affecting. So I was really just happy to see that it lived up to the expectation. Everybody who had talked about it said, "Oh yeah, it's totally like a slam dunk home run." And yes, I would also add touchdown to that list.
Oh, you're being all like appropriate to like season of the footballs.
Maybe. Oh yeah, there is football. Yeah. Had you played that before, Ben?
I had, and when I watched you stream it, I came in at the part of the mall where Ellie's fighting in the mall. Mm-hmm. And I remembered that exact setting. I was like, I remember this battle, but I didn't realize it was in the DLC. I thought it was in the main game. Oh, yeah. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was my stream. Other than that, I've been playing something that I've had on my radar for a little bit. It's a little bit disappointing. I'm going to get that out of the way here. It is an indie game that is available on PC and Switch. It is called Grease.
Oh yeah, I've heard about that. I've had that recommended to me. Tell me about Grease.
Like the musical?
So it's Grease, like Spanish for gray. It's an indie platformer. It shares a lot, kind of like in terms of like tone and like level of interaction with Journey a little bit. So you're playing as this young woman who kind of wakes up in this world that is all monochrome and black and white, just like, you know, and she is as well. There are no colors, and you're kind of going on this symbolic and emotional journey to collect these stars and restore color to the world. I'm going to lead with a positive thing and then talk about where this falls down. This is a drop-dead gorgeous game. It is some of the best animation that I have ever seen in a video game. Every frame of it looks amazing. Like, I would put this up next to like Cuphead in terms of just being kind of like a staggering achievement in terms of hand-drawn animation quality. Mm-hmm. You know, it does really wonderful stuff with, you know, watercolor style coloring, in addition to really cool like light and bloom effects on it. You know, there is not a frame of this game that isn't just a beauty to behold. That proficiency, like that mastery, it really, really makes me wish the game had more to it. Now, I haven't beaten it just yet. You know, it's a relatively short game. I'm about like 4/5 of the way through. I had intended to beat it, but and it's not hard, but there's not an awful lot like interesting to do. Okay. There's not an awful lot in terms of like, you know, so you would look at this game and say, oh yeah, it's a puzzle platformer, but there's really no like figuring out what you need to do. It's just kind of like you look at it and you say, oh, I got this movement ability here in this branch, and that's probably what it expects me to do. Oh yeah, it works. Cool. It's just, yeah.
It's good. They like missed the game design lesson where it's like you go to point A first and realize you need to go back to point B. They just skip the point B part.
Yeah. And you just go down a spoke until you get everything you need, and you're dropped back kind of at the center to, you know, to take your next start. So I wish it wasn't as shallow as it is, because it, you know, the look of it engenders a lot of goodwill, and I think that, you know, lines up with a lot of the coverage that I saw of it. You know, it got a lot of attention because, you know, it does have these amazing visuals, and, you know, I get the sense that there is, you know, some kind of, you know, pretty heavy emotional stuff going on, although I don't know exactly what's happening right now. It has like it goes through all these motions of feeling like a capital I important capital G game.
Yeah.
But it just it doesn't have enough for my hands to do. And it would only, you know, I don't know what it would take. I can't armchair quarterback it. I just I went into it expecting it to be pretty but shallow, but it has been more so than than I expected. So I don't know that it's necessarily a I don't know that it's necessarily an expectations problem. I think that it just is. It's just a more pronounced version of this thing that you see from time to time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have this game on my wish list, and it does look beautiful. So it's good. It's good to know the there's a little bit of a warning there that the gameplay might not be as deep.
Yeah, yeah. And I don't feel especially burned. Like, I got it on that big Devolver sale on the Switch here recently, and it's you know, it's cool to play a game and see, you know, cool images. It's just I was looking, I think what the problem is, I was in the mood for something a little bit more crunchy. Yeah. And when I sat down to play this, like, this is like a decompression game after, like, in, you know, in between kind of more engaging things. And I sat down and like, I guess I'll finish this, because if I put it down, I'm never going to pick it back up. But yeah, I think that if anybody is going to approach this, I would say walk into it knowing that it's going to be a, you know, a not very demanding, you know, again, very shallow kind of experience. And you'll probably have your expectations aligned. But yeah, that's Grease. It's not the musical. I keep on saying Grease. How would I pronounce that to make it not sound like I'm talking about the musical Grease?
You're Grease. Right. It's going to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's just going to happen. Grease. It's fine.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Oh, another cool thing. My left Joy-Con broke. That's not the cool thing. That sucks.
That's cool.
Yeah. No.
I guess.
No. So I had to, I went and got a new set of Joy-Cons. But I also, while I was out, I was feeling saucy, and I also got, because these were on sale, one of those Hori left Joy-Cons that has the D-pad instead of the four buttons on it.
Oh
yeah. It's Zelda themed, it actually has like a cool little you know, Zelda Breath of the Wild circuit board kind of design on it, which is really cool. Okay. And boy, it's really cool to have an actual D-pad on the Switch.
So what is the difference between like D-pad and four buttons? I mean, other than the obvious, like what difference does that make?
The buttons are really far apart from each other. And you know, to interact with the D-pad, you're kind of like rocking it, you know, from side to side a little bit, you know, left and right, left, right, up and down. Whereas on the Switch, by like pressing four distinct buttons, it doesn't let you do things, like rapidly switch between diagonals and stuff like that. Like doing a diagonal involves like pressing two of the buttons at the same time. You can kind of get used to it, but it is much better to actually have the D cross on there. Especially if you're doing any kind of like, I don't know, Hollow Knight was a bit of a pain to play with that, but like I fired up a little bit and Hollow Knight actually controls really, really well with this thing. So
cool.
Yeah, it's good. It was like, and it's only like on its own when it's not on sale, it's like $20. So I don't know.
That's awesome. That might be a thing that I'll have to get eventually, depending upon what I play on my Switch.
Yes. The caution is that it only works when it is attached to the Switch. It doesn't have like a battery or anything inside of it.
That's also fine, it doesn't because have any I don't ever play my Switch on a screen other than the one that's on it as a handheld. So it's fine.
See, I've never heard someone playing a Switch any other way.
Yeah, it's weird. That is the
Cole's that guy.
No, I only very rarely do that, and that's if I'm playing something for a show on it, I will play it in docked mode because it's easier to take notes when you're not holding the thing itself. That is the second piece of Nintendo hardware that's ever broken on me. The first was my original DS Lite, which the top part just broke off.
Yeah, I remember snapped. You talking about that.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about doing the next thing?
Let's do it.
multiplayer.
Now it is time for the multiplayer, where we ask you a question and then you answer it. David had to step out briefly for some work stuff, but he'll be back in the next segment, we imagine. Jala, what is the question that you asked the nice people?
I asked, what game do you love but also don't replay, and why?
This is a very good question. I do not know my answer yet, and I hope that I come up with one at the end of this. let's see here. So I'm going to get us started here with Devin, who says, Assassin's Creed 2. At the time, it was amazing in gameplay mechanics, upgrades from the first, and in its story. And I know if I replay it, I won't recapture that feeling the first playthrough gave. I'll be too focused on how dated it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. When people talk about liking Assassin's Creed 2, they're actually talking about liking Assassin's Creed Brotherhood. I'm serious. The combat is such a big step up. Yeah, I've said that many times, though. Ben, what does Mike say?
Mike says, I really liked Alien Isolation, but I will never touch it again. It's simply too stressful and too long to commit to ever again. Am I reading that right?
Yeah. Too stressful right. And too long by half to commit to ever again. Yeah.
Gotcha. It's a long game.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I haven't played Alien Isolation, so I don't have any more to comment on besides that. Weird that Alien has come up twice. Jello, what does Greg say?
Greg says, there are a few games I've poured over 150 hours total into that I really love and treasure the experience. Final Fantasy Tactics, Morrowind, and Skyrim come right to mind. To this day, I still think fondly of the games and my times playing them, and I would totally still encourage people to play them today. However, I will never play them again due to the huge time investment required to fully enjoy them and not having that time now. I can feel that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I can see that. Although I do have Final Fantasy Tactics playthrough in me. more so than a bunch of those. Although Morrowind's kind of calling my name too. You were talking about that in the in the stream.
Oh, I was talking about that in the stream. Mm-hmm. I was talking about that in the wellness channel. That is actually the the image for this question. Mm-hmm. It's been on the mind lately. So yeah.
I wonder what your answer is going to be. let's see here. Martinus says, there are so many games which fall under this category, but I'll go with Soul Reaver for today. That game totally blew my mind when it first released. The graphics were amazing. The story was intriguing. Its Metroidvania-esque gameplay had me hooked for weeks. I'm afraid that the game would show its age too quickly should I play it today, and I'd rather just hang on to the great memories I have of playing it back in the day.
Yeah, and that sentence right there talking about the game showing its age and you'd rather hang on to the good memories you have, that's like a common theme when I discuss this with people is like, you know, if it's not the time factor, mm-hmm. it's literally like, no, going back and playing it now after everything that's come since is just too hard to do, you know, like my memories are better than what it would be if I went back to it now.
That is a remarkably well-adjusted thing to decide to do. It's just mm-hmm. like, oh yeah, I like the memory of this and I don't want to jeopardize that.
Yeah.
Let's see, Ben, what does Lindsay say?
Lindsay says, GoldenEye 007, only because I do not have an N64. That is the only correct reason, by the way.
I've had a hankering to pick that back up again, briefly, do a run through of the damn level.
Mm. Yeah. That game's still good, I feel like.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's like so far away that you don't expect it to be good graphics, and so it's like, yeah, this is fine.
Yeah. I don't know. Something made that jump into my mind here recently. Jala, what does Nathan say?
Nathan says, some games come at a time in your life when you can distill a perfect experience from them. December 2011, roughly 30 days of winter break in college, just turned 21 and discovered good beer without wanting to get blasted all the time, frugal enough to pay all my bills and have no unmet needs, job closed until the next semester. I correctly surmised that I was unlikely to get another free month for the rest of my life. Enter the Dingler, a shifty Argonian werewolf assassin king wizard dean that yells real good. Now Skyrim forced me to tears. I've done it all. No surprises. Subsequent runs don't give a sense of accomplishment.
That last sentence is very upsetting. I don't know if it was the way he delivered it, Jala, but like it sounds like a depression mantra. Like nothing left, seen it all.
Hey, I was trying to do it in the way that I do, like when I'm like, I played this and I felt nothing.
Oh man, yeah, Skyrim popping up a couple times here. Sorry, I just looked down a little bit more. Carlo says, I won't be quote replaying WoW Classic in any serious capacity. For me, the game came at a specific time in my life, which made it very enjoyable. It wouldn't be the same now. Maybe I'll be in a good place to enjoy it when I retire or win the lottery.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
MMOs, a big time sink.
Mm-hmm. Especially ones that you've already played. Yeah. Let's see. Ben, what does Alexander say?
Alexander says, Gary and Cole killed my enthusiasm to ever go back to the Soul Reaver games. I'll always have my fond teenage none more goth memories.
Yeah, I didn't want to, I kind of avoided saying that for Martinus.
What did you do?
No, we just really didn't like the Soul Reaver. We didn't like Soul Reaver.
I remember that episode.
We showed no mercy, and I don't mean that to sound like badass. We just we were very brutal with our assessment of it. So I would say, Martinus, don't go back to Soul Reaver. Also, if you have affection for that game, don't listen to that WoF episode if you haven't already. Because I don't know, it might not make your day better. And all I want to do is make people's day better, or at least neutral. Having like a null impact on people's day at worst. So
I want to make your day neutral. Feeling happy? I don't think so.
Oh man. Jala, what does Christopher say?
Christopher says her story. It was a blast searching for the clips and uncovering the mystery, but doing it a second time feels like it would be too tedious.
Oh, 100%.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you already know the twist. You know what to search for.
Yep. Once you know, then it's like, meh.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. David writes, so my top three games of all time are Chrono Trigger. Probably beat it over 100 times between all endings on different consoles. Mass Effect 2, beaten it 6 different playthroughs and a 100% achievement. And Suikoden 2, beat it once. I still own the original PS1 disc I bought on release and the digital download on Vita, but every time I start playing it, I end up replaying the first Suikoden, which I've probably beat 7 times, 4 with all 108 stars. Oh yeah, so no, you can never play the second one because you always want to play the first one. I see that.
That's a thing. That's a thing.
Yeah. And rounding everything out, Ben, what does Ricky say?
Rookie says, Battletoads and Wizards and Warriors. I have fond memories of summer spent with my grandmother who let me play video games as long as I wanted whenever I stayed with her. It was basically little kid heaven in her place, especially compared to home where my brothers called me a Nintendo freak and enjoyed shutting off the power at the breaker after I'd been playing for more than a few minutes.
What?
Being a nerd. Yeah, that's terrible. A nerd in the 80s, 90s sucked. Playing NES and later SNES at her place was the only time I could play video games back then without feeling like a loser. Before the advent of podcasts, I guess. I played Battletoads so much at her house that I actually beat the damn game. And Wizards and Warriors was... Yeah, I know, right? And Wizards and Warriors was one of the only games she would play, so we would play it together. The game gave you unlimited... Yeah, the game gave you unlimited lives, so it could be beaten by just about anyone given enough time, and we did just that. A lot. She died recently, just shy of her 102nd birthday. Wow. And I don't think I could play either of those games anytime soon, if ever. I am literally fighting back tears just from writing the story. Why did you do this to me, Cole?
So Jala did this to you.
I'm sorry.
I was wondering if you're going to take that, Cole.
Yeah, I did not know that that was a thing. I'm sorry to have you fighting back tears, my friend.
Yeah.
That is a sweet, precious memory, though. Mm-hmm. My dad, when I was growing up, the very first system we had was an Atari. And I don't even know what the game was that we played, but it was some dungeon crawler game where you were playing like little warrior guys going around through the dungeon trying to, you know, co-op to kill bad guys. And so I was playing co-op games from the very beginning, and I played that game with my dad. And that was the only video game I ever got my dad to play ever in life. So, and right now my mom and I, like, my mom likes those really, really simple, like, word games, like crosswords and word finds and word bubble and mm-hmm. whatever. So, every once in a while I'll go and, you know, sit with her and then we'll play one of those together. So I definitely understand, having older relatives, and having that situation where you have very fond memories of doing that with that particular person. Mm-hmm. It hurts right now, but you will treasure that over time. So
yeah, thank you very much for sharing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Let's see, we can go through ours. Mine is real simple. Pathologic, just because it is not necessarily a very fun game to play. and you know, I have gotten what I need to out of the Bachelor campaign. And mm-hmm. there, you know, this, the kind of the one that is recommended for newbies, and by reading plenty of analyses and watching YouTube videos and things like that. And also Pathologic 2 is out and it is more accessible. So I don't know. I can play that instead.
Yeah.
So, real easy for me. Ben, how about you?
Yeah, I think of like two tiers. There's like games that I hate played, like the ones that are on my mind right now are like Beyond Two Souls or Skyrim. I'm never going to play those again. But there's also like all the games that I play, like Uncharted or Batman or any of those, like they're all good games, but I think I would have a hard time playing them again just because it's like you already know the story. And so that's a big time investment for something that you kind of already know what's going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Jala.
Not what you're thinking.
All right.
The original Guild Wars.
Okay.
I think it's still operational, but my memories were made back when before it was a ghost town. Like now I'm sure there's like two people in any of the servers. But back when it was new and there were all the people, you know, in there, and back when I played the game when it about a month after it released. And so I was in there when it was brand new, before all of the expansions and, you know, extra versions of it. You know, like there's Guild Wars and there's Guild Wars factions, Eye of the North, and so on and so forth. And, you know, I played back when the game was a big struggle and it was, you know, nicknamed Guild Wars because it was so much about like just, you know, trying to get your skill bar set up just so, and coming up with creative ways to do your dual class and everything like that. And I had friends in a guild and everything like that. And I think there's only one person that I still chit chat with, who's actually not from my first, like my Guild Wars 1 guild, but from my Guild Wars 2 guild, you know. But so that would be definitely a game that I cannot really go back. Like I can go play it. It's still available, but it's not going to be the same thing to go back. Even if I brought somebody who has never played it into it, it's so archaic at this point that it's not the same thing as like when it was new and everybody was just, you know, looking at how breathtakingly beautiful it is and everything. Like it's antiquated to the point that you know, those memories are going to be way fonder, like of all the role playing and stuff that I did in those servers, you know. Mm-hmm. So that's one. That's the main one, actually. Second runner up is I love Morrowind, but I don't replay it at all. Basically, our controls are super archaic and it takes a long damn time. And the thing is, the thing I like about it is the thing that also makes me not want to replay it. This, like I mentioned before, it came up in the Wellness Channel because I was training and I was listening to the Morrowind version of Nerevar Rising on repeat. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking about how you know, resuming a form of training when you've been away from it for a while is really like the beginning of Morrowind. How like Morrowind is pretty accurate to the sensation of how it feels when you're learning something new and you are very slowly getting better at it. Like leveling up in that game feels like a goddamn achievement in a way that leveling up in any other game doesn't feel like the way it feels, you know, in Morrowind when you finally get a level and you're like, thank God, finally, maybe this Kiwama won't kill me. The slug is killing me, or maggot, or whatever the heck that the Kiwama, you know, grubs are supposed to be. But anyway, and I love that, and I love the sensation of that game. There are a lot of mechanics that are both horrible. There's some that are horrible, and there's some that are really cool. Like, you know, custom making spells is really awesome, and there's other things you can do that are great that got factored out of that game. And I actually like the fact, for example, that they don't have like the GPS waypoints, and you can't really fast travel except, you know, you can get on the Silt Striders, but that's only town to town. And like, you know, you don't have little markings on your map anywhere. You can't basically figure out where the hell you are ever.
Yeah.
And actually, I like that because it gave me such a sense of adventure. And these days with the modernization, you know, like that's not, you know, the way that it feels anymore to play any open world game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like that adventure when I was just like, oh, man, I just went into the, you know, I dove down into the water just to see if I could, and I could, and there was a shipwreck down there and it was haunted and holy shit, you know, like. Dude, and then like you can't ever find it again. You have no idea where it is because you saw it that one time, you know? Like that's pretty cool. And yeah. I like that fact because, you know, like it's definitely got a sense of discovery, but that is not something that like if I go back to it, I might maybe get into that again, but it would be a really slow process and a big time sink. And kind of like how I believe it was Mike said, or maybe not, maybe it was somebody else. Anyway, it's a time sink that, like, it's not that I'm unwilling to spend the time to go back and rediscover the things that I liked about this game. However, it is a thing where I could have a new experience with that allotted time, or I can go back and replay this. Like, I am replaying right now Lone Wolf Remastered, but I don't remember everything about the story, so it's kind of like a fresh run-through. My memories of Morrowind are pretty vivid. Yeah. So, like, to go back to that would be a little bit different, you know? So I think that's, like, where the difference comes in with that. And, like, I think that the ways in which it shows its age would be enough to dampen my experience with it in a way, you know, that it wouldn't have been back in 2002 when it was mm-hmm. new, yeah. you know? So
counterpoint, you can mod it to shit to that's, basically yeah, make it what you need.
Yeah, but I don't know. Nah, like that's like against the whole purpose of going back and trying to re-experience it. Yeah, though right, I mean, yeah, I get it, but
yep. Yep, I understand all that.
Yeah, so that's my answers.
Cool. Well, thank you so much, everybody. Lots of really good answers for this. Mm-hmm. If you would like to participate in these. Go to the our Facebook page, facebook.com/thelevelpodcast, and watch for the prompts to go up on Monday afternoons.
The end boss.
Now it is time for the end boss, where we talk about things that are happening that excite us, sometimes in the world of video games, sometimes not. Let's see. I'll do mine first because this is related to broader things that we're going to be looking forward to. Also, David is in a meeting right now still, so he might not be coming back for this episode. Anyway, so this week it is the week of the Tokyo Game Show. And we already have a big announcement that I alluded to in the past. There is a new Resident Evil game, but it is not necessarily what I expected. Capcom has announced and showed a trailer for a game called Project Resistance. I have no idea if that's actually the name of the game, the final working title. Project Resistance, because the RE. Resident Get Evil. Yeah.
I'm holding up my facepalm Picard.
Yeah, so this is a multiplayer game. And you play as four survivors that are apparently being toyed with by this Mr. X like figure. The trailer is goofy as all hell, and this game looks goofy as all hell. I don't know how excited I am about it. I'm cautiously optimistic because the early notes are comparing it to hey, this is going to be like Resident Evil Outbreak. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think Outbreak is actually rad as hell.
It is.
Yeah. But this is also the company that gave us Operation Raccoon City.
Yeah.
From a real similar ethos. So it's really.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to mention, I streamed. I blocked it out of my mind.
Yeah.
I streamed some Resident Evil. Oh, was it? It wasn't Operation Raccoon City, was it? I don't even know what I played. I blocked it out of my mind. Holy shit.
When was this?
Okay. Oh, the weekend when you were gone. I streamed for an hour, and I streamed a Resident Evil game that I just totally... Umbrella Corps. I played an hour of that.
Oh, yeah. My understanding is that is also... trash. Yeah, ding-a-ling game. No good. Yeah, so I don't know, maybe they've got good people working on it. I would hope that they have the best people working on Resident Evil 8. That'd be cool. It's just my kind of thing. I was hoping that this was going to be the new mainline RE, but I had no reason to believe that besides my own hopes. So
it having played some of Umbrella Corps, I'm scared about this game.
Yeah.
I liked Outbreak a lot because it was kind of like Resident Evil meets Bomberman, but because you could turn into a zombie and then go and bite other people that were still in the game.
Yeah.
And stuff, which was cool. But this looks funky, and it's kind of like Umbrella Corps with some funky stuff so bad that I didn't even remember that I screamed.
You repressed it.
Oh my God. I did it. I couldn't even remember which game I played. It was so bad. And so, that archive is on my YouTube too. If you really want to watch me play that game, oh boy, yeah. The only thing I really remember about that game is that it was super repetitive, and that, I was very mad because you crawl on the floor at unrealistic speeds, and that's the thing that upset me the most, because during my last GoRuck event, we were doing a lot of low crawling, and I'm very bitter about the low crawling going on in this game.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, not feeling too great about it, but we will see.
I'm not holding out any hope for it. As much as I like co-op and I like Resident Evil, I don't know that this is going to be an okay one.
No. Man. Jala, how about you? What's the story you brought to the table?
Kojima has tweeted that he's introducing a very easy mode for movie fans who just want to see what happens in Death Stranding, but might not have video game experience. So that's a thing. And mm-hmm. I don't know if that's legit. He's really leaning into the fact, that he's doing the self-parody thing, or, if he's just, jacking with people. But he did offer up, a good point that he does have some, pretty big names working on this game, being actors in this particular title. So, and also, he's aware that people poke fun at him for, basically making movies, not video games, to the point that, The Onion had an article at some point about Kojima developing a new video game that is just one 2-hour long cutscene.
The satire of that is that it's only going to be 2 hours.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was like, oh, that's actually very, very modest.
Yeah.
So I think that is actually entirely possible. And for Kojima, that might be actually, honestly, the best way to experience the quote unquote game, because he likes to make films.
Yeah, maybe. So, yeah. I don't know.
We'll see.
So like, so this is pretty funny that people are reacting to this, because like, I don't know, like the idea of a casual difficulty mode that is just there for people who want the story, that goes back a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. I'm curious about how this will be implemented. Like if it literally is like autoplay and if it strands the cutscenes together or something like that.
Yeah. Don't know.
Yeah. Don't know, but we will see. We will see. Ben, you're going to like hop on that, like on launch day, right?
Probably. It comes out in November, so it depends on how much I'm playing the Outer Planets by then.
Or
the Outer
Worlds, yes. By then. Yeah, that is also worth keeping in mind. So, finally here, Ben, what is going on in video games, Ben?
Oh, man, I forgot that I hadn't even talked about this story already. Yeah, they're remaking Face Off, apparently. Paramount's gonna reboot the movie, so... Awesome, I guess. I don't know. I can't see how this would be a good movie. But they're getting the writer of Sonic the Hedgehog to rewrite it.
Cool.
It seems like they're picking the right path, at least. I don't know. They need a crazy director to try and helm it, to try and make it have fidelity to the original, I guess. But I don't know. I'll be very curious to see how this turns out. The movie, like, if you watch it now, it makes no sense. And if you were a reasonable person when it came out, it also made no sense. So I don't know if they're going to lean into that for a remake or if they'll try and, like, do a gritty, realistic reboot. Whatever. Face Off is awesome, though. So
it's, yeah.
Go ahead.
I don't know why, but I watched the hell out of that movie when it was new, and like I still actually have a DVD somewhere of this movie, and it's trash, but I like it, and I don't know why.
Up there with Con Air.
it's really fun. Like the idea of remaking this, like casting it would be such a thing, because like putting John Travolta and Nicolas Cage in the same movie and then having them mimic each other.
I know.
I don't know who you could get today who would achieve that same level of what the fuck am I watching?
Yeah, exactly.
just in their carriage and their cadence. Like I do not know. I like who today would be the equivalent of that.
There's a post on Reddit recently where they showed the filming of one of the scenes that they did, and it was just a single take of them doing it. It's like one of the ones where he goes crazy in the prison and he tries to kill the other one, you know? But it's like they just did it in one shot, and it's just them being crazy. Like they didn't have to do multiple takes.
Yeah.
Wow. So we'll see. This seems unnecessary.
Yeah, it does. Like, why do they need to do this thing? Like, why they have to just reboot every literally every single thing that there is to reboot.
Yeah.
Hollywood now is not like about making interesting movies. It's similar to like the casino industry. They're making bets on where they can make money. And so that's why it's like, all right, let's make this action movie because this is a very safe bet and we will get a return on this investment. So
Yeah.
There is no such thing. It is unacceptable to aim for a modest success.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you only play safe bets. Blah. Oh,
and
well.
On that note.
How do you all feel about buttoning it up?
I feel buttons.
Me too.
David's not here to say Velcro, so I feel buttons as well.
All right. The credit. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening to this level number 299. Episode 300 is going to be delayed a week because we're not necessarily going to have a quorum for that. We want to have at least four of us here. Next week, if we can, I would like to propose Ben and David, if we want to do like a short little free play multiplayer cleanup. I think that'd be fun to have something on the feed as like a 90 as a 299 and a half, but no, I don't want 300 to be a three style dig.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. So, that is a little bit of a programming note, but we will not leave you alone. Other than that, you know, the stuff to do, ratings, reviews, Patreon, and I don't know, following all of our streams and stuff like that. Go watch Jala's Lone Wolf Remastered streams on Sunday afternoons.
Yeah.
So I am Cole Ross. I have been Cole Ross, and you can find me on Twitter at Cole Ross.
I'm Jalachan in all of the places.
I'm Ben Merkel. Merkel be on Twitch.
Yeah. And David, you know, David is the one and only. He cannot be here right now. So I will just say thank you so much and stick around for some titles.
This is like the one time David has ceased to be David Money Smith. He's no longer here.
Oh, no. That makes me sad. Who has titles?
I only have a couple, and one of them isn't going to work, probably, because it's too long. Okay. So one of them is weaponized skipping.
Okay.
And the other one is too long. Have not studied this in a while or ever.
what was that in relation to?
Talking about wormholes.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
How about you, Ben?
I got four. I got The Rest of Us. I got Depression Mantra. I got I Want to Make Your Day Neutral. And then I got Repressed, and spelled like the way that I just dropped it in chat.
I like that.
Oh, that is so good.
I like that one.
Yeah, no, that's gonna be it. I like it. Are any objections to repressed?
I don't do the thing because I totally didn't even remember.
Yeah.
You repressed the conversation about playing Resident Evil already.
And I didn't have any, so I would like to go with that one if we can.
So. Over no title, yeah.
Yes. Fair. Cool. Awesome. Well, I hope you guys have a good week.
Yeah. Likewise.
Yeah.
Take everyone's care. Recuperating now, and yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully we can bring it for 300. We brought it this time though. I just want fewer bummers.
Yeah,
fewer bummers for all in general.
I'll be back from Austin, and hopefully I'll have some fun stories about pre and post event stuff.
Cool.
I will talk about whatever the burger of the week is at Plow Burger. I anticipate. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, everybody.
All right. See you guys.
Bye.
Night. Bye-bye.